The book of Genesis, chapter 8 tonight. Once again, it's been our pleasure to be here these couple of days. And to fulfill my promise, the Lord willing. And if Jesus doesn't come back, we'll be here next year all five nights. The Lord willing. If the rapture takes place, Brother Jeremiah will be here doing the preaching. But let me just tell you what I like about this meeting. It ain't bogged down so tight you can't breathe. And we know when to get serious around here. But it's all right to laugh, too. I get amazed at some of these meetings I get in, you can't laugh. And everybody looks there, they look like they're mad. You look up on the platform, they look like they're just mad. And I grew up around my dad, Mays Jackson, and Billy Kelly. Those were my mentors. And those were happy people. And I just, I grew up that way. Brother Kelly was in a meeting one night, Brother Blue, you'll love this, and told something funny. And he was subject to do that. And I thought it was funny. I laughed, but everybody else there laughed. But this woman, she didn't laugh. Made her mad. And she'd come up to him after church and started shaking her finger. Now, he was the wrong guy to do that to. And she said, I'm going to tell you something. When I look at you, I don't see nothing funny. And he looked at her and said, when I look at you, lady, I don't either. And then she said, I'll tell you right now, if you was my husband, I'd feed you poison. He said, if I was married to you, old girl, I believe I'd eat it. Amen. Oh, boy. And then he said this, and it changed my life. He said, if you're looking for a place to cry and be sad and have burdens, he said, there's plenty of funeral homes, hospitals and graveyards and crying places. Plenty of places to be sad. So you better take advantage of a laugh every chance you get. The joy of the Lord is our strength. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. And I appreciate the free spirit. It ain't bound up. I like that. And I don't feel that hate spirit. Like, we're right and everybody else is just X'd out. And I get around that. I get uncomfortable. I can't be me when I get around that. Makes me nervous. I start popping Zantac when I get around that. Because, brother, we're going to pass through this way once, and we ought to enjoy one another's company. Genesis chapter number 8 tonight. In fact, let me read chapter 7 in verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah. Chapter 8 in verse 1. And God remembered Noah. And in chapter 9 in verse 1. And God blessed Noah. I'm glad we serve a God that speaks. I'm glad we serve a God that remembers. And I'm glad we serve a God that blesses. Our text tonight is 8 in verse 1, and God remembered Noah. I have that circled in my Bible, and I got holler amen right here. Amen right here. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. God being our helper tonight, I want to preach for a while on the other side of the storm. Now, a lot of times when we preach on storms, we preach on what causes storms. And I've never ceased to be amazed at what all people know about everybody's business. How they know why everything's gone wrong in your life. Now, they don't know why it goes wrong in their life, but they know all about your life. And we, a lot of times we preach about what causes storms. Then a lot of times when we preach on storms, we preach on what to do in the middle of the storm. And I'm glad God does not desert us in the midst of our storms. But tonight, for a few moments, I'd like for us to go through the storm and come out on the other side and take a look at the other side of the storm. And I do want to say, thank God, there is another side. As you know, I found out that there's one thing that all storms have in common. It might be a windstorm, it might be a rainstorm, it might be a snowstorm, it might be a thunderstorm or a lightning storm, it might be a hurricane or a tornado or a monsoon or a typhoon, but there's one thing that all storms have in common, and that is they stop. Amen. They will stop. I've never heard of a storm lasting on until this present hour. That storm may be a big storm. It may be many miles wide. It may lay millions of dollars of damage in its wake, but it will stop sooner or later. Boy, I'm glad the storms and the afflictions and the valleys and the places of discouragement in life, they are not permanent. They are not forever. The Bible says this too shall come to pass. And I'm glad there is the other side of the storm. For the Bible said before the storm ever came that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the grace of God that Noah found in the eyes of the Lord is grace that will see you and I through any storm that comes our way. Grace was available before the storm ever came. And I'm glad grace didn't run out in the midst of the storm. And on the other side of the storm, there was still grace in the eyes of the Lord. Did not the songwriter say, through many dangers, toils and snares, I've already come, and His grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. Have you ever thought about who gave us that song? That was a man by the name of John Newton. That was very vile and very wicked. He was involved in the early years of the slave trade. And he was a sailor on a boat that would sail from Africa to America. And this man was so wicked and vile that at night he would get on the bow of the ship and look up at the stars and say, "Even if there is a God, I hate you and I despise you and I dare you to strike me dead." Boy, if somebody talked to me and you like that, we'd probably shoot them. But I'm glad God is a gracious God. Men on the bow of that ship, he'd take God's name in vain, and they said he was one of the most wicked and vile men that ever sailed the seas. But one day a little Moravian preacher planted the seed of the gospel. And old John Newton got under that deep Holy Ghost conviction. And God saved him by the grace of God, and the next thing you know, he becomes a Baptist preacher. And one day he's studying for his Sunday morning sermon, and he's studying about the grace of God. And God lets his mind go back to all of those experiences that he had on that ship. How the storms and how the peril and how many times he was that close to dying without God and going to hell. No wonder from his pen we have the words, "Amazing grace. how sweet must sound that saved a wretch like me. His mind went back to those drunken stupors and all of those crimes against humanity. And he would say, that saved a wretch like me. His mind went back to, I once was lost, but now I'm found. And for a man to cuss God like that, he would have to be blind. I was blind, but now I see. No doubt his mind went back through those storms and on the Atlantic and those waves and those winds and how by right he already ought to be in hell. But we find these words, through many dangers, toils and snares, I've already come, and it's His grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead us on. And then no doubt his mind went back to how beautiful the shore looked after the storm when they would pull into the port. And he gave us these words, when we've been there, praise God, I'm glad we're going there. There is the other side of the storm. I'm glad there's grace in the eyes of the Lord. You may not find grace in the eyes of the brethren. You may not find grace in the eyes of your family. You may not find grace in the eyes of the world. I'm glad there's a God who's the God of all grace. Hey, there's grace in the eyes of the Lord. And thank God it's keeping grace. It's saving grace. It's been to God. It's powerful grace. It's blessing grace. It's storm surviving grace. It's need meeting grace. It's table spreading grace. It's peace speaking grace. It's heart calming grace. It's eye opening grace. It's soul feeding grace. It's life-giving grace. Praise God, it's wind-blowing grace. It's wall-knocking down grace. Praise God, I'm glad. It's sufficient grace. There's grace before and doing and after the storm. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. For Noah found out that God did not fail him. Somebody said, do you think his boat's going to float? If you build it out of what God said build it out of, she'll float. And I'm going to tell you the reason why a lot of Baptists got sunk along the way. They built their boat out of the wrong stuff. They built their boat out of the visions of men and the sinking sands of dead religion. But if you build your boat how God says, and how big God says, and out of what God says, it will survive. I want to tell you, that boat didn't spring a leak. That boat didn't tip over. I mean, that boat didn't sink. It was sufficient for the journey. Because the Bible said that God told Noah to pitch it within and without with pitch. The storm couldn't get to Noah, and Noah couldn't get to the storm. Because between Noah and the storm was a wall of pitch. Isn't it amazing that Old Testament word pitch is the New Testament word atonement. Between him and the storm was an atonement. Praise God, I'm glad I'm in the boat tonight. I'm glad I'm sealed up tonight. And between me and the storm, there's a wall of pitch. For Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only. Someone said, are you worried about going down? No, sir, brother. I've been pitched. I've been atoned. I'm going to make it through the other side, because God will not fail. I want to tell you, God hadn't failed you, and He hadn't failed me, and He will not fail. He is a God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God will not fail you. Noah found out that God did not forsake him. God didn't jump ship on day 3. God didn't wait till a week in that storm and then run out of... God was with him before, during, and after the fact. In fact, God was with him before the first cloud ever gathered in the sky. For when they got through building that boat, and after the time of extended mercy and grace, God issued the first divine invitation in the Bible. Now the first inquiry in the Bible is, Adam, where art thou? But that first golden invitation in the Bible is when God said, come. And by the way, he's been calling come ever since. Notice he did not say, go in the ark. He said, come thou into the ark. You say, well, what's the difference between a going and a coming? I'm glad you asked. Let's say tonight after church, me and the pastor, he says, Brother Joe, I want to go home with you. And so he goes with me down to Hampton, Georgia. We pull down Oakwood Lakes Drive, stop at 180, and we go in the driveway and we walk up to my house and we walk up to the door together. I'm going to be a good host. I'm going to open the door and say, Brother Bobby, go in. Brother Bobby, go in. Well, let's say Sunday morning you decide to come see me and I'm already home.
There you are.
I'm there before you get there. I'm already inside before you even knock on the door. And when Brother Bobby knocks on the door and I'm already on the inside, I'm not going to say, go in. I'm going to say, come in. Because I'm already, hey, he said, come into the ark. Hallelujah. God was already on the inside. God was there before he got there. And may I say to you tonight, you can't go nowhere where God ain't already been. You can't go nowhere where God ain't already at. He was there before you got there. He'll be there when you gone, and he'll beat you to the next place. I want to tell you, you can't outrun God. He's been there all the time. And when he got in, the Bible said, and the Lord shut him in. And you say, what's so good about that? Because when the Lord shuts you in, you in. Noah didn't shut the door. His wife didn't shut the door. His three sons didn't shut the door. Their wives didn't shut the door. You said, well, that must have been a miracle. Amen. He stepped in that boat and the Lord shut him in. Does not the Bible say when the Lord closes a door, no man can open it? I don't believe Noah could have opened that door if he'd have wanted to. And by the way, it was a door, only one door, no other door. And it was in the side. And the giraffe had to go to the same door as the elephant. And the elephant had to go in the same door as the cat and the dog. Honey, I've been through the single door. I've been through the side door. And I've been through the shut door. And I've been through the sealed door. Amen. I'm glad when they got on the inside, the Lord shut him in. I'm not going to get lost on the trip. I'm not going to fall out of the boat. I'm not going to lose my salvation. God shut me in. And I'm in. I remember years ago, the biggest thing in our little old town was Kmart. Though I remember as a little boy walking up on that mat and stepping on that mat and that door all by itself. I stood there forever and tried to find somebody opening that door, but it was doing it all by himself. It so amazed me, I stood there for 30 minutes just going back and forth on that door. You know what? Walmart didn't invent that. Kmart didn't invent that. God had one of them way back there on the ark. Noah stepped on the welcome mat of grace and God shut him in. I want to tell you, the Baptist church didn't save me. The Pope didn't save me. Going to Sunday school didn't save me. The preacher didn't save me. This drunk staggered up to Oliver Green one time and said, "Hallelujah, Brother Oliver, you the one that saved me." He said, "Son, I must have, because if God did, you wouldn't be drunk." Say amen right there. I want to tell you, the Lord shut him in, and God did not forsake him. God didn't run out on him. God was on the inside of that ship. I want to say, you may not hear him tonight, you may not feel him tonight, you may not sense him tonight, but I'm glad standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's not forsaking you. Hey, you ain't got to drive the boat. He's driving it for you. All you need to do, praise God, is sit back and enjoy the trip. He's not going down with the ship, because his ship ain't a going down. And if the Lord is your co-pilot, you need to change seats. God did not fail him, and God did not forsake him. But according to our text tonight, Genesis 8 and verse 1, God did not forget him. For it says in God, remembered Noah. God did not lose that ark in the midst of the flood. God didn't look over at Gabriel and say, my, I wonder where my people went to. God did not forget him. God did not leave him stranded in that ark out on that stormy water. God did not forget Noah. It said, and the Lord remembered Noah. I love the chorus. I love the chorus to that song, One Day at a Time. But I can't sing it because I can't get past the second verse. Do you remember? Well, how in the world is the God of eternity going to forget anybody? Do you remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're... What do you mean, if you're looking below? The Bible said the eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the earth. How can the God of heaven ever forget anything? He didn't forget Noah, and he ain't forgot about you. The God of heaven can't forget anything. God remembered Noah. He didn't lose him. He knew where he was. I believe somewhere on that boat was a GPS. A grace positioning system. Hey, God did not forget him. God did not leave him stranded on that boat. For when that ark came to rest, it did not come to rest in a valley low. When that ark come to rest, it did not come to rest on an arid desert. When that ark came to rest, it did not come to rest on a stormy sea. But at the end of the journey, on the other side, hallelujah, on the other side of the storm, that ark came to rest high on Mount Ararat. And that Hebrew word Ararat means resurrection ground or exalted place. Hey, when the storm was over, it hit the rock, and it came out on resurrection ground. And when they came out of that ark on the other side of the storm, they were walking higher than they had ever walked before. They didn't come through that storm worse for wear. They didn't come through that storm with the mully grubs. They didn't come through that storm hanging out on one leg. Honey, on the other side of that storm, they were stepping on higher ground. I want to tell you, that trial, that storm, that difficulty in your life, it's not going to defeat you. It's not going to destroy you. It's not the worst thing ever happened to you. That's God's business, to elevate you on higher ground. I'm glad there is the other side of the storm. Because God did not fail him. God did not forsake him. And God did not forget him. You say, well, what did he experience on the other side of the storm? Three things. Look in chapter 8 in verse number 11. On the other side of the storm, Noah saw three things for the first time in his life. Genesis chapter 8 in verse 1, on the other side of the storm, the Bible said in verse 11, And the dove came in to him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off of the earth. He didn't see this dove before the storm. He didn't see this dove during the storm. But on the other side of the storm, there was a little old dove that flew in that ark. And in the beak of that little old dove was a green olive leaf. And that dove said, "You made it. It's over. Everything's gonna be alright. So put this down. On the other side of the storm, there's sweet peace. On the other side of the storm, there's sweet peace." You say, "Well, what's so significant about the dove?" Well, I'm glad you asked. You remember that day when John Baptist was down there by the Jordan and he was baptizing them young converts, and then all of a sudden one day Jesus, the Son of God, walked upon the scene and John quit baptizing and went to preaching. And he said, "Behold." You know what that word "behold" means? It means, "Looky, looky. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And then Jesus walks up to John and says, "Baptize me." Oh, I want to tell you, that blew John's mind. He said, "I'm not even worthy to tie your shoes." But you see, Jesus said, "To fulfill righteousness." I know, in other words, "To show forth my death, my burial, my resurrection, I want you to baptize me." Here John is baptizing converts, but now he's about to baptize the converter. And this ain't the first person that John's ever baptized, but he ain't ever baptized nobody like this one. John had laid his hands on a many a baptismal candidate. But honey, I believe when he touched that one, whoop, I believe he felt a surge from the glory word. He ain't never touched nobody like, you say, "Oh, he didn't feel nothing." How you gonna lay hands on Prince Emmanuel and not feel a surge? Why, these independent Baptists, they've been scared to death so long about emotions and feelings. We done got unplugged altogether. I know we're not saved by our feelings. We're saved by faith. But I'm glad every once in a while, faith gets plugged up and I feel something. Son, I believe when he grabbed the hold of Jesus. Amen. Whoop. I believe he felt something. Boy, can you imagine John? He put him in that liquid grave. Then he brought him out of that liquid grave. Boy, there stands Jesus in that running Jordan water. That old red muddy water coming down the face of Jesus. As that Jordan water drips off the face of the Son of God. You say, "It don't do nothing for me." I'll tell you one thing, it tore heaven up. For God rolled back the clouds. Whoop! And he called a dove. Isn't it amazing the last time that dove flew out of that ark? You don't see him again. Till he comes. Amen. You're going to get that in a minute. Boy, God called that little... Whoop. Boy, God got him a dove. And he placed on that dove the Holy Ghost. And that dove flew out of the throne of God. Hovered. Oh. Hovered over the shoulders of the Son of God. And boy, there stands John beside of Jesus. sure comes that dove. By the way, did you know the first analogy of the Holy Ghost is a bird picture? The first time the Lord introduces the Holy Ghost in the Bible, He uses the metaphor of a bird picture. And the earth was void, and with that form, and darkness is on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord moved. The Hebrew word is brood. Hover. The word picture is a mother dove moving them inside feathers close to her heart. And the encyclopedia says incubation is when a warm mass of life-bringing air passes over something that ain't got no life. Hey, I'm... Yes! Boy, that's the Jesus. That's the that dove. Boy, God had all He could stand. And He ain't said nothing in over 400 years. And He says, I want to say something. I want to say it. I'm not going to let no angel say it. I'm not going to let a prophet say it. I want to say it. And Lord, is that dove, is that Holy Ghost dove, it's sitting up there cooing, standing, incubating, hovering over the shoulders of Jesus. God leaned over the balcony of heaven and spoke with a voice that shook the foundation of the world. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And He arose out of that river in the power of the Holy Ghost. You say, what's that got to do with us? I went down to the river called Holy Ghost Regeneration. And honey, when I come out on the other side of the river, that dove, oh, that sweet dove, flew in the recesses of my soul. And He's in there tonight. He's fanning. He's incubating. He's a-cooing. I'm glad the birds is still a-singing. Honey, that dove flew in that ark. And it flew by Noah and he said, it's okay. It's okay. Oh, I like it when God flies in my soul and said, boy, everything's gonna be all right. I'm glad. Woo! Hey, I'm glad there's sweet peace on the other side of the stone. I like it when my mama used to tell me, everything's gonna be all right. I like it when my daddy would say, don't worry about it, boy. Everything's going to be all right. I'd call Brother Billy Kelly with problems. He'd say, buckle up, be a man, pay your dues. It'll be all right. Sometime I'd give anything in the world. My wife would just put her arms around me and one time say, honey, it's going to be okay. He said, what did she normally say? Quit whining and be a man. Shut up. You wait. It's sugar and spice now. Did you know there's a food that women eat it, and when they eat it, they're never the same? Wedding cake. I better move on to another point. But I like it when mama says it's going to be all right. I like it when daddy says it's going to be all right. I like it when my wife says it's going to be all right. I like it when my preacher buddy says it's going to be all right. Oh, but I'm telling you, can't nobody. I'm telling you, honey, whoo, can't nobody. I mean, can't nobody say it's going to be all right. Like the sweet dove of the Holy Ghost when He comes by and says, you need fanning. You need a little incubating. I'm glad on the other side of the storm there's sweet peace. I'm glad the birds are still singing. We got a friend of mine over here in North Carolina in Asheville, Brother Ralph Sexton Sr. And he's got a boy that's, well, he ain't little anymore. Ralph's 55 years old. But they call him Ralph Jr. I tell you, Ralph Sexton Jr. is God's man. And you said, I've heard some things on him I didn't like. Get over it. God says, touch not mine anointed. Amen. And boy, I love him. I tell you, the more they criticize him, the more the power of God falls on him. Honestly, I believe Ralph Jr. could get up and say Jesus and 15 people get saved. We preach together and I get up and stomp, spit, sweat, strip my vocal cords, throw my gallbladder in the baptistry. No, nothing happened. Ralph can get up, not break a sweat, never raise his voice and just go, "What's wrong with you? You just need to get saved." And you have to direct the traffic. You know what that is? That's the Holy Ghost. The other day, Ralph got a call and said, "Your daddy's in the hospital." On the way to the hospital, before he could get there, Brother Blue, he got another call and said, "Oh, forgot to tell you, your wife's in there too." And before he could get to the hospital, he got another call and said, "Oh, forgot to tell you, your daughter is in there too." He said, "Joe, my daddy was on the second floor, my wife was on the third floor, and my daughter was on the fourth floor." And he said, "All night long, I run from room to room, elevator to elevator, room to room." And he said, "About 5:30, I said, 'God, I can't take no more.'" And he said, "I went outside to get some fresh air." He said, "It was still kind of dark, but morning was about to come." And he said, "I was standing there outside of the emergency room door, and I heard a bird start chirping." And he thought, "Well, it's too early for the birds to sing. Something strange is happening." And he looked over his head, and you know, the hospital had them big red letters, "Emergency." Ah, I've been there and had some of them. But he said, perched right in the middle of that E was a nest. And right on the edge of that E was a little bird just a-singing away. And he said, "I looked up there, and the Holy Ghost said, 'Ralph, it ain't even daylight, and the birds are still singing.'" Yeah. "Ralph, I ain't watched that blood, that bird in the blood of Jesus. I've not filled that bird with the power of the Holy Ghost. I've not written that bird's name, woo, in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Ralph, if the birds can sing, I think you ought to sing." He said, "Praise God." He said, "The next thing I know, they were coming out of the emergency room with a straitjacket because they thought they had a wild man in the parking lot. Praise God, I'm glad the bird is still flying and the dove is still cooing and the Holy Ghost is still speaking peace. I'm glad on the other side of the storm, the birds will still be singing sweet praise on the other side of the storm." I've got to hurry. Look in chapter number 8, if you will, in verse number 20. The second thing they experienced on the other side of the storm, not only a dove, but look in 8:20. The Bible said in chapter 8 and verse 20, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar." And I like this. "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor." In plain old Tennessee language, that means God leaned over and said, "I like it." He didn't build that altar before that storm. He didn't build the altar in the middle of the storm. But the first thing he did when he stepped out on the other side, he said, "Young'uns, it's altar building time." Now you Bible students know there's a law of hermeneutics called the law of first mention. When you read something for the very first time in the Bible, look out. When you read it for the very first time, it's big. Because certain characteristics will be there every time it's mentioned. Well, guess where you read the word altar for the very first time in the Bible? Right here, Genesis 8 and verse 20. The first time the Holy Ghost says altar was on the other side of the storm. By the way, the Hebrew word altar, you know what it means? It means to exalt. It means to magnify. It means to separate. It means to hallow, to deem as holy. It means to lift up. You see, that's what the altar was. You didn't take your sacrifice and throw it on the dirty ground, because the ground had a curse on it. But you see, that altar exalted the sacrifice. The altar lifted up the sacrifice. Well, glory. The altar pointed the sacrifice towards God. Now watch this. They've just gone through the worst ordeal of their life. They had just gone through the worst thing they'd ever gone through with. But when they stepped out on the other side, they wasn't bitter. They wasn't mad. They didn't have the mully grubs. They didn't have the Baptist blues. They didn't spend 45 minutes testifying on how hard a time they had. But on the other side of that storm, they lifted up, exalted, magnified some praise. Here's what I'm saying. On the other side of that storm, Noah says, boys, here's a good time to build an altar. And while we're building an altar, we're going to put the best we got on it. And in doing this, we're going to say, thank you, God, you didn't fail me in the storm. Thank you, God, you didn't forsake me in the storm. Thank you, God, you didn't forget me in the storm. On the other side of the storm, there's sweet peace. But on the other side of the storm, there's sacrificial praise. I don't know of a better time to build you an altar and go to thanking God than when it gets you through your troubles and your heartaches and your trials. Amen. And you look back and say, hallelujah, worthy, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. Brother, it ain't dropping time, it's altar building time. For God did not bring you through that storm that you might get up and gripe and bring accusations against God of how unfair He's been. God brought you through that storm so you could elevate some praise. Magnify some praise. Lift up some praise. God didn't get you through that storm so you could get up and tell everybody how hard you had it. God let you go through that so you could get up and say, God's good. I love Him. I could have drowned with them Andaluvian sinners. I could have went to hell with that perverted outfit. Oh, but I found grace. And I got on board. And I got sealed in. And I enjoyed the trip. And by the way, everything they needed was on the inside of the boat. They were totally shut off from all outside aid. Well, glory, I've never thought about that before. And hey, the only person could get any glory out of this was the Lord. It wasn't Noah that got them through. It wasn't the boys that got them through. It was the God of the ship. I say, it's time to praise Him and give Him glory. He's been good to us. You say, but I don't feel like praising God. Just start. You'll feel like it. You know what some of you need to do tonight? You need to go home, get in the back bedroom, shut the door, put towels in the crack so nobody can't hear you, turn out the light, pull down the curtain, pull down the blinds so nobody can't silhouette you, and just get in the middle of that room and go, whoo. You say, I don't feel like doing that. Do it one time, and the second time, it'll come natural. There is a doctrine in the Bible called, I will offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Jonah was in the belly of that whale. He prayed. He repented. He paid vows. But you know what got him coughed out? When he said, all right, I'll do this. I will offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Salvation is of the Lord. That will say, I can't take that. the Bible say the Lord inhabits the praise of His people? You say, well, when something big happens, I'm going to praise Him. Is there anybody here tonight saved? Well, what's bigger than that? You say, boy, when the Lord comes through and does something big for me, I'm going to praise Him. Let me ask you again, is there anybody here saved? Well, boys, it ain't going to get no bigger than that. In fact, there's only two criterias of praise. Number one, the Bible said, everything that's got breath. Let me ask you this, is there anybody here tonight breathing? How many of you know somebody besides you is breathing? Because you can smell them breathing. Let me ask you one more time. Anybody here tonight breathe in? Alright, you've met the first one. Then He said, rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Got anybody in here tonight? You know that your name's written down. Alright, if you're breathing, raise your left hand. If you got your name down, raise your right hand. Now while you got them up, crisscross them. Because if you're breathing and you got your name written down, that's all you need. Aren't you glad tonight? I'm breathing and I'm saved and I got a redemptive right. I got a creative right. I can say, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The storm raged. The lightning flashed. The thunder rolled. But I didn't sink. And I didn't go down on the other side of the storm. Build an altar and give Him glory and praise. Because on the other side of the storm, there's sacrificial praise. Let me give you this one and we'll go to the house. Look in chapter 9, verse number 13. On the other side of the storm, He saw the dove. On the other side of the storm, He saw the altar. Oh, but look at here in chapter 9 and verse 13. On the other side of the storm is when He saw the rainbow. He didn't see that rainbow before the storm. He didn't see that rainbow during the storm. But on the other side of the storm, He saw the rainbow. Woo! Now that dove says, sweet peace. That altar says, sacrificial praise. But that rainbow says, steadfast promises. I've read the Bible and been blessed. I've read autobiographies and blessed. I've read commentaries, and I think I could get blessed if I could understand them. You know, what Stubbs means, Stubbs, the guy that wrote the commentary. He writes 5 pages on everything I understand, and that part I don't understand. He didn't understand it either. And he skipped the whole thing. But I've read the encyclopedia and been blessed. I got to preaching on rain. In fact, I preached 7 Sundays in our church on the grace that Noah found in the isles of the Lord. Oh, I like it. And I looked up rainbows, and I got blessed. You know what the encyclopedia said? It takes 2 things to have a rainbow. A storm and sunshine. The encyclopedia says, before the formation of a rainbow, there is a massive disturbance in the air. Have we got any believers here tonight? You've gone through a few massive disturbances. But it said, on the other side of the disturbance. You see, I don't care how much rain falls, there's still water pellets and water molecules left in the clouds. And it says, when the sun shines on the other side of a storm, bright rays of sunlight filter through the clouds. And them sun rays hit their mortar pellets, and it acts like a crystal and a crimson, and God's seven natural colors fill the sky. No storm, no rainbow. No sunshine, no rainbow. You say, preacher, what in the world is God doing? Is he trying to kill me? Uh-uh. He's just making rainbows. If that storm don't come, you can't have a rainbow. But if the sun don't come up on the other side of the storm, you still can't have rainbows. Did you know a rainbow starts in heaven? And with two big arms, it just reaches down and hugs the earth. A rainbow is one of the very few things that can touch heaven and earth at the same time. Oh, I'm glad somebody touched heaven and earth at the same time. And he went to Calvary, and that was a massive disturbance. But I'm glad 72 hours later, on the other side of the disturbance, the sun came up in the morning. Woo! Hey, and now I'm glad I've got a rainbow of blood and love in my heart because Jesus got up from the grave. And the encyclopedia said, listen to this. There are times when the sun is just right in the horizon that you can see a triple rainbow. One, two, three. It's got to be just right. And you can see three rainbows. Well, I guess that's what happened down by the Jordan. It got just right. Because Rainbow Son was being baptized, Rainbow Father spoke from heaven, and Rainbow Spirit came down out of glory. The encyclopedia said that 98% of the time, it says this, that rainbows are always a full circle. About 98% of the time, you don't see the bottom half. Because the earth blocks out the bottom half. I read on and found out the best way to see a whole one is leave the ground. While you're on the earth, you only see half. Half. Oh, that brings up a verse. The Queen of Sheba told Solomon, I heard about you, but I couldn't believe that one person could be that great. But now that I've met you, it's true. And on top of being true, the half has never been told. But don't despair. I got a friend by the name of John. And one Sunday, he got caught up in the Holy Ghost. And God took him way up yonder where the shades of love lie deep. And he walked into the third heaven. And that was a throne. And the Lamb of God was on the throne. And John said, round about it. Round about it. Round about it was an emerald rainbow. John said, when I left the ground and got to glory, I saw the whole thing. Brother, when the saints leave the ground on the other side of the storm, we'll not know in part, we'll not prophesy in part, but face to face, in all of His fullness, in all of His glory, there'll be a rainbow on the other side of the storm. Let me give you this and I'm done. God said, this rainbow is a token. I looked up that little word token and it means proof of purchase. I found that word in some interesting places. I found it in the book of Exodus where God said, put the blood on the door. It shall be a token. In other words, you're going to take a trip after a while. and it's been paid for by the blood. I came to the book of Joshua. No. What book is it where Rahab the harlot is in? That's what I said the first time. And she said, remember me. I don't want to die with these heathens. I've heard about your God and what he did to the Egyptians, and I want you to remember me. And they said, take a scarlet cord, hang it out the window. It shall be a token. In other words, Rahab, you're going to take a trip after a while. Go marry a Jew. And her trip's been paid for. God said, son, when you see that rainbow, it's proof of purchase. It's my ship and it's my trip. And the trip's been paid for. Can you imagine in closing the fear and the anxiety that swept over their soul the next time clouds got in the sky? Can you imagine the fear and the uncertainty that swept over them the next time it rained or thundered? I bet they said, oh Lord, here we go again. But about that time the Lord would slip up and they take that upward look and know it's okay. Rainbow. It's all right. He done her before, and he'll do her again.
Amen.
You say, what's that mean? On the other side of the storm, there's a steadfast promise. And God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm glad there is the other side of the storm.
Amen.
You say, what am I supposed to do till it gets there? Just hang on. Ride the ship. Trust the captain. Because there will be the other side of the storm. Let me say this. When they stepped off of that ark, they were walking on brand new ground. And I want to say God's going to use that storm to take you to some new territory. It's going to be all right. Because there is something for us on the other side of the storm. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. Lord, I'm glad you've not forsaken us. Lord, I'm glad you've not failed us. Lord, I'm glad you hadn't forgotten about us. I'm glad there is something for us on the other side of the storm. Lord, there may be some Christian, some preacher, some mom, some dad, some teenage boy or girl in this room tonight under a heavy load. And they've been praying that this week God would change some things in their life. But Lord, sometimes you don't change the circumstances. You change us. And Lord, sometimes the only way out is through. So we ask you, Lord, to help us tonight. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And help us to realize there is the other side of the storm. And we'll give you the praise and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.